You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. OBM, Ohio Business Machines, and Sharp Copiers. When it comes to Browns fans, their loyalty for our team is unconditional. Make your number one pick the preferred document services provider of the Browns, OBM. With their exclusive guarantees and their designation as the only Sharp Platinum level service provider in town, they've made unconditional fans out of all their customers. Only OBM has the X's and O's for your office when putting together a Sharp Products playbook for your business. Call 216-485-2000 or visit OhioBusinessMachines.com today. We've got Bill in Mayfield. Bill, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I got a quick question for you. In relation to the offensive line, if you guys had to pick one over the other, who do you think's the best fit and the better player on our team between Greco and Schwartz?
Who do I think is the better player, Mitchell Schwartz or John Greco?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I think Mitchell Schwartz gets a lot of grief. I think that he's played pretty well at right tackle, and I think he's done a good job for the Browns. I'm not as down on him as some other people are. I like Mitchell Schwartz. I think he plays a little bit more of a valuable position. I think that John Greco is certainly a very serviceable guard for this team, and I think he is a strong member of this offense. But I do think Mitchell Schwartz gets a little bit of a bad rap. I think Greco plays his position. I think he's a more effective guard than Mitchell Schwartz is a tackle, but ultimately a tackle is a more valuable piece of your team.
Okay, well, that's going to lead into my other thing as far as upgrading. I think there's a few things the Browns can do that will significantly upgrade the team from the inside out that won't be as cost-restrictive to them. One, I don't know if you think Greco, if given more time at center, can fill into that backup role where we can draft a right guard that will be an upgrade from Greco. And then to prevent an Alex Mack type situation, have Greco as your swing. We know he can play both guard spots. Let him be your interior backup, kind of as some protection so last year doesn't recur this year. And maybe look at a Dwayne Allen type of tight end who will also improve in the running game as well as be an option in the passing game, just because I think Jordan Cameron was very lacking as far as run blocking. That's just not what he does. I think those moves, a guard, a balanced tight end, and even a fullback would give the Browns what they need as far as that running game, because like we've been saying, if we don't have the quarterback, the running game has to be a premium.
You're right about that. And, you know, my perspective about the offensive line, and again, only playing against them and understanding, you know, how they work, never having been in those rooms, is the one thing we have to understand is you can protect Greco by being in between Mitchell Schwartz, the right tackle, and now getting back Alex Mack. You can protect his flaws at guard, whereas Mitchell Schwartz is out there, similar to the way Joe Thomas is, he's out there by himself. You know, he's not getting much protection from Jordan Cameron, who's always releasing. So it's very difficult to protect a tackle. It's better or easier done to protect the inadequacies of a guard because they're protected in inside two other men. You can protect or change protection a certain way to protect inadequacies at a guard that are very difficult to do for a tackle.
They certainly are. And just so you know, Mitchell Schwartz was graded out as a much better pass blocker than John Greco. Greco graded out as a better run blocker than Mitchell Schwartz. To me, it is certainly I'd rather take a better pass blocker. I think you can find a run blocker. It'd be interesting. The other piece of this that people aren't talking about, at least in my opinion, is Michael Bowie and where he fits in. Yes, you don't know where Michael Bowie is going to fit in terms of being, you know, how's he going to perform compared to where he was when he was with the Seattle Seahawks. But this is a guy who could come in and be that right tackle, or basically be like that draft pick at the right tackle position that everybody seems to be looking for and wanting for from the Cleveland Browns. He started for the Seattle Seahawks in 2013. So he is somebody that I think certainly is in this mix as well, and that might be why you don't see the Browns address that position in the draft. We've got John in Virginia. Welcome to CBD. What's up, John?
How you guys doing today?
Good, man.
Good.
Good. Hey, first I just want to let you know you two are the only ones that are bringing me any hope down here in the state of Virginia.
Good. We're trying.
Everything. I'm sure you are. It can't be easy. But, fellas, you know, after totally whiffing on the first, well, I shouldn't say totally whiffing because it's only one season, But increasing ticket prices, you know, it all comes from leadership. How can Ray Farmer tell people that they want to play like a Brown and all this stuff if he's up there sending checks to the sideline? You know, at the company that I work for, at the top, if something is going wrong, you address it to the entire company. And I'm looking forward to when the microphones that are just ready and waiting for Banner and Haslam and everybody, Haslam and Farmer and everybody else to step up and tell us what the heck's going on, because it's an absolute embarrassment.
I don't know if that's what they're going to do. I don't know if they feel the need to address this. I don't know if they feel the need to come out and publicly say, you know, give their take on the things that were, you know, said in the Jason Lockin 4 article. I don't know that they feel the need to do that to even address them, because I know they feel there are a lot of fallacies in there, as I pointed out. I can just tell you that I know they are working together. They are unified and they are excited about moving forward. I don't know that you're going to get that media satisfaction in terms of them sitting down and giving a unified message. I just don't know if they feel like giving the merit to something that they think is so completely wrong by doing that. I just don't know. That is well beyond my pay grade in terms of what the Browns are going to do from that standpoint. And I think it would be something fairly unprecedented to say, you know, we feel the need to respond to this article. Now, the texting thing, I imagine when that, whatever punishment is handed down for that, you're going to get official statements and perhaps people in front of microphones answering questions about that. I would think.
I would hope so. You know, and I think, and I love and also hate at the same time when they talk about season ticket holders, because they're the most valued customers of the Cleveland Browns, the fans. Their experience and even for us spending the morning, you know, listening to the accomplishments of the growth of the Cleveland Browns and how much time and effort they put into, you know, game day and the marketing associated with growing this brand and developing this product for you fans. But I also hate that they just dangle that right in our face. You know, they are your paying customer. They're the most valued thing to your business. But yet, in some cases, I think the fans in this case, it's like are 50% of it. And the other 50% are the media, the analysts, you know, those who write these articles. And I think by sitting in front of them, and I talked about this yesterday, and really you're meeting the demand for giving them answers. Yes, your season ticket holders want answers. And the Washington Redskins went about it with writing a letter. Maybe a letter comes out to those season ticket holders to give them the plan that everybody wants, the plan that they hopefully came away from their trip, the meeting of the minds trip with. But I don't want that to go public, because then you're meeting the demand of these analysts that want to write stories that have inadequacies and in some cases are completely false.
No question about it. Let's go to Kartik in Hudson now. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Hey, you know, after that Lockin 4 article,
All right. We lost him, apparently. Let's try Jamie in Newcomerstown. Jamie, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I was the guy that called about Tom Brady's wet balls the other day.
So yes.
I'm gonna try to make this a little better. I thought we showed this year that our biggest weakness was stopping the run. I think in free agency, and some people won't like this, he's a bit of a dirty player, but go after Ndamukong Suh from Detroit and Phil 12 and 19 with an offensive lineman and a wide receiver. I think that covers all three of our biggest weaknesses, and just wanted to know what you thought about that, and I'm going to go ahead and hang up.
I just think Ndamukong Suh is going to be out of the Browns' price point for one player. I would obviously love to have him. I think he would change this defense and make it immediately, you know, a top five, if not a top three defense in the NFL, and certainly a playoff defense that could maybe carry this team all the way there on its own. I think that that's what he would bring to this team, but I just don't know that the Browns are going to spend that kind of money in free agency on one player to make that kind of a move.
I would love to have it. I'd love to add that attitude. I think he becomes the epitome of playing like a Brown, and would, you know, adds a scare factor to our defense that got scary good, you know, towards the middle portion of that season, and he'd be valued. But I think to go get one player on the defensive side of the ball that actually, again, grew significantly, and as Joe Hayden had said earlier when he called in like a couple weeks ago, talked about how much better that defense is going to get. There are so many other places we can, you know, allot that money to grow as an organization, not just to make one side of the ball that significantly better.
No question. Let's get our final call here of the first hour for Ty Shelter from the Bleacher Report joins us here. We've got Steve in West Virginia. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. This is about the Cleveland Browns, but it relates to everything else in football. The national reporters, so to speak, using that term with not so much respect, they give us stories with key phrases, excuse me, but they're not telling us the full story. It's like that. People are embarrassed by the Browns, but what I'm hearing is there's an allegation that the guy texts somebody, and then you don't hear the full story. A gentleman just got arrested in Florida. He has a concealed carry license. The gun wasn't with him, but the way they had that topic, that tagline, you think the guy was sitting around with cash and the gun on his lap. And that just, it's kind of irresponsible to me. So I'm not jumping on the Browns for any of that text gate or anything else. And even with the Patriots, they didn't tell you at first that the guy went into the bathroom. I mean, there's so much more to the story, and at least you guys are reporting what you're talking about with at Cleveland Browns Daily with the people in the building, and I respect that.
I appreciate that.
There's so many rumors out there that it drives me crazy. I want, if you don't know it, you say you don't know it, and this is what you know. You don't reword it, so it gets everybody all riled up, and I really do appreciate that as I'm driving most of the day.
Well, I appreciate that very much, Steve. Yeah, thank you. Listen, everything's going to come out that is the truth about this situation. The NFL, we know, has conducted an investigation. The Browns have cooperated with that investigation. And, you know, my sense of it is that the penalty, if there is one, is not going to be very severe. And we will all know the truth on this matter very, very soon, which is certainly a good thing. All right, Nathan Zgarr, Matt Wilhelm, that's our number one in the books here for us on CBD. When we come back, Ty Schalter from the Bleacher Report will be with us talking about his article about what the Browns need to do headed into 2015. In his opinion, turn the reins over to Mike Pettine. We'll talk about that right after this.